And this is Fortunato with the Monday Sampler. I've got young Keith is here.
Hello.
Hello. We've got, which one we got? This is the background, right?
Mic 3. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We have got Greg, Keith, and Nicole. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Come by. Greg and Nicole, they run the Pinball Outreach Program. Is that correct?
Pinball Outreach Project.
That's right.
Common mistake.
So you're up there on in the Beaumont, right by Beaumont Grade School, Middle School, whatever it is now.
Right down the street from the middle school at 4605 Northeast Fremont.
Oh, where Rose's used to be. Rose's ice cream used to be right in there.
Oh.
I used to work at the bagel place back when it was called the Bagel Ladies, decades ago. But, what is the Pinball Outreach Project?
Pinball Outreach Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that was founded by myself 3 years ago to bring the joy of pinball to children.
And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and more specifically to children's hospitals.
That's awesome.
And Keith, you or Greg, you have like worked in all sorts of pinball places, right?
Yes, I used to work designing and writing software for pinball machines for a while.
Now you would just start out with a blank board and start working from there, or would you have like an idea that you were given? This is like, we've got the F-14 Tomcat. Make a pinball machine about that.
I didn't get involved until the playfields were actually built.
Oh.
Because, you know, we had different roles, and the guy who draws the playfield and designs it would then hand it over to the software guys to build. And but yes, basically that's what it comes down to. Usually they have an idea for a theme, and they start drawing it, and then they cut a couple of white woods and start building. They're called white woods because they're just blank pieces of wood that have no paint on them or anything. And then they start building up the ramps and spinners and bumpers and all of that stuff and playing them and modifying them. And then we put rules around it. And it was a lot of fun.
So you would come in with the programming. And this is like actually in the last couple of decades that they've got so much electronics into them.
They've always had a lot of electronics, but it is in the last probably since the mid-70s that they started actually putting computer chips in them. And, you know, now they have all digital sound and animations, and some of the new ones have actually, like, LED screens and 3D art
going wild.
Right, but back with, was it Pinball Deluxe? Was that? Or no, 8-Ball Deluxe.
That was one of the earliest ones, I think.
To get away from the mechanical.
Yeah. Like 75 or 76 was probably when the solid state started happening, right?
Yeah.
There were a few games, like Aztec was one that was made in both solid state and electromechanical versions.
Oh, nice.
Right, in the transition.
Yeah, in the transition.
Well, before we get too deep into this, you know, when kids are playing a video game, it's just an algorithm that's been worked out, hasn't it? It's like if you do this and this will happen, and it's all planned, every move is anticipated before. But pinball's not like that, right?
No, not at all. It's very much random. It's very much physics. You can shoot the same shot 15 times, and the 16th time something weird might happen. Get caught on something on the play field, or the ball spins a little differently.
Yeah.
You always need to be on your toes and reacting to it.
Which is a good thing for kids to be picking up on this, as opposed to just, all I got to do is memorize the course of who to shoot left, who to shoot right, I jump here, I roll over there.
Sure.
I'm learning something. But no, with the pinball machine,
there's strategy, there's art, there's math, there's
lots of technique.
Physics, yeah, electronics.
Playing with someone else, being part of a team.
Part of a team, you have like a team play? How is that done?
Sure, each person can play a flipper.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah, that's
so you
fun.
Can do that with doubles or siblings or parents. Aunts, uncles.
I'm just, that doesn't end well. I don't think it
does. And we also, too, not to be confused, we have Keith Elwin here as well, man. Thanks for coming in, too. It's awesome to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm a big fan, dude. So we got Keith Elwin. Keith Elwin is one of the best pinball players in the world, if not the best. It's incredible to see someone like him play.
I think he's only ranked number 2 in the world right now.
Oh. Which is, yeah, the rankings, you know, but, yeah, skills.
Number 1 in the U.S., though.
It's unbelievable. So, like, having a rank like that and being that awesome, like, how do you do it, man?
How do you keep that?
How do you think he does it?
I eat my spinach every day. I don't know.
That helps.
It does take a lot of endurance.
Lots of beer.
Because you're concentrating and you've got to keep open and you can't lose your concentration. You can, like, get your eye off the ball, literally, and that's it.
Like, well, the key to tournament success is just being consistent.
Yeah,
you can put up a great score, but if you follow it up with two bad scores, you're out of the tournament. Whereas, right. You know, my goal is just be consistent, put up a good score, put the pressure on my opponent, and most of the time they'll come short.
Oh.
A lot of people, they'll put up a great score, but they can't follow it up with anything else, and most of the tournament formats, that'll punish that kind of play.
You have to be very patient.
But you also got to understand how the game is set up so that how you can get the points without having to do an awful lot of effort.
Yeah. I've been playing competitively for 22 years, so I pretty much know all the rule sets for all the games. So I do have that advantage. It's very rare that they can put a game in front of me that I do not know how to play. So it basically comes down to just executing my strategy.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. Now, out at the project, mm-hmm. What is it you have set up out there?
We have hopefully up to 9 games set up. Hours vary every day right now, but they can be found weekly at pinballoutreach.org/HQ for headquarters. And basically every day that we're open, we'll have set free play hours for kids 13 and under. They can come in and they will be given tokens, complimentary tokens. And they can play to their heart's content. And if they like, we will play with them and teach them about pinball. We've had a lot of that. We've had a lot of neighborhood kids coming in, playing pinball for the first time ever, and then coming back the next day, negotiating park time with pinball time. I'm already seeing that happening.
That's awesome.
Nice.
We're going to be doing a summer camp in the summer. And also some kids' leagues and some kind of, you know, reward-based pinball play with kids. And it's an all-ages space. Anyone can come in. We're donation-based, so if you're not 13 or younger, then you donate money for your tokens and you can play as well. And we have a party space, and we'll be holding events and things like that.
It's great that you have the facility there now, like, from doing it for so long. Like,
yeah.
It's awesome.
Out of the basement now.
Well, good.
And so it just brings a lot of opportunity to us. It puts us out in a community where we haven't necessarily been before. We've been kind of, not stuck, but we've been fundraising within the pinball community. And
right.
There's a lot of other organizations out there now that are also fundraising within the pinball community, and it was time to take us up to the next level and push us out there and bring pinball to a whole new audience, which are these kids that are coming by.
So you're right out in the neighborhood up there, just off on Fremont,
right.
Just 46, which
right.
is above Hollywood District.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. Just that's a great thing here in town. We have, like, these neighborhoods where you could just walk over and there's something happening. Or
yeah.
There's, like, I forget which bus. There's a Fremont bus, and there's one that goes up mm-hmm. 42nd Street from Milwaukee, goes out to St. John's. St. John's just comes right by there. So it's
yeah,
a nice
it's
little
a real central cross. Location.
Yes, it is. It's really nice.
Cool. So what was the website where people could check out more about POP?
Pinballoutreach.org/HQ.
Awesome.
So, Keith, when you were young, how did you get started on playing pinball?
My brother used to take me to the arcade. He was 10 years older than I, so we would, you know, basically he was stuck babysitting me, so we'd go to the arcade. You know, back in the day, they were just everywhere.
So,
yeah, I had to learn to get good because I didn't have any money.
I lived over in Irvington District, and I would walk up to Wayne's Pool Hall there right on in Hollywood District. He had about 4 pinball machines. Remember, there was like a Monte Carlo sort of race machine, and this is, well, there were mechanical numbers, which I always found more interesting than playing pool. And it was like, because you could play by yourself.
Yeah.
And then it's back quarter, 5 balls. Pretty good.
It's you versus a machine for a free game. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that when you're a kid.
No, it doesn't. No.
Because you don't have any money, so, you know, you just... If I was playing video games, I'd go through $5 in no time, but pinball I can make last all day, so it kind of became my
yeah,
hobby.
Yeah, because you get the replay at a certain point. Of course, the score then goes up to get the replay after that. So get the
not
the
in the old days.
Not in the old days.
Well, that's right. That's right. That is a new thing.
Yeah, that's a new thing. So yeah, that does curtail that a bit, but it's...
Well, it's like right in there with that ball save for the first minute. That's relatively new.
Mm-hmm. That's new. Yeah. Yeah, it's they're really catering to the less skilled crowd with all that. Back in my day, we didn't have all those safety nets, so...
But back when you had five balls, you could let one go by.
Yeah, we call them house balls, and you plunge, and you don't even touch it. So,
there's some people, that's their strategy. They'll shoot one, let it go down, then they'll play when it comes back up, as if they would get any points that way. I don't know.
It depends on the game. There's so many different rules, and like a lot of the older games, like Greg, he's really good at plunging the ball, where you don't realize how much of a skill that is.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Some of the older games, you have to be like... what was that one at C-Bar with, like, all the betting, the, like, old man game, you know?
Oh, Little Joe?
Yeah, Little Joe. Right. But you were really good at that because you knew how to, you know, skillfully plunge
right.
the ball.
Right, and this is one of the reasons why we started, we opened the headquarters for kids, is that they can come in and they don't have to worry about how much money they're spending. So if they want to practice a certain skill, like plunging for the skill shot or...
shooting for goals on World Cup
or
soccer.
Letting the ball bounce over or any of these flipper tricks, they can try that unlimited without feeling like they spent their whole allowance, if that's a thing that kids have anymore.
If you read into Portland's dark past, pinball machines were right in there. They were like right next to slot machines for gambling purposes. What was it, like a nickel? You got a whole bunch of balls and some ones with the holes and the pins, and you tried to fill out a pattern,
mm-hmm.
and then you could change patterns.
Bingo games.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah,
no flippers.
Mm-hmm.
But those were around forever,
it
seemed like. Yeah.
You see them a lot on Craigslist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really. There was an old pensioners bar on Market Street. It just had about six of those once I came across. The flipper that came in, what, in the late 40s, right?
Yeah, the game called Humpty Dumpty. But the modern configuration with two, because Humpty Dumpty had six flippers and they were reversed on the sides of the games, not at the bottom like they are now.
Oh, wow.
They're modern, really small and tiny.
Right. The modern bottom of the flipper configuration was pioneered by this guy, Steve Kordek, who just recently died after spending like 70 years in the pinball industry on, I forget what game now.
It'll come to us, but it's like it's kind of like there's the out lanes, and then you
right,
have the flippers.
Right. And they got the
then there was a
the
new
bottom.
Configuration that had the out a second out lane that went into the flippers.
Right, so
that
that's,
was also an innovation mm-hmm. at one point. And then, I think it was the Matahari machine. It was the first one that had a hole on the top that you sat into, and then it would like drop it right down the center. And if you didn't know what you were doing, which is like a left-right or right-left thing, you're like, what am I doing? You freak out right at the start.
Yep.
That was like early digital as well, if I recall. So Firestorm or
Firepower?
Firepower. Was that the one where the guy looks like the human torch in it?
No, Fireball.
Fireball. That's a classic. It's got the whirly.
The spinning discs.
But the machine over at Bare Bones, Whirlwind,
mm-hmm.
that's a sweet machine.
The guy who designed Whirlwind was the guy that I worked for. His name was Pat Lawler.
Ah, and so it's got three twirling segments, so it'll shoot the ball off. But still, there was a sequence that you went to. It was one of the first early ones that that talked back to you.
That's got a lot of, like, it's very interactive. It's got a fan on top of it, too. I like it for the summertime, you know, it gets breezy.
Great summertime game.
There should be a place that has at least a couple of those, you know, all at once. So I'd like that.
Okay, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I came across the machine down in Los Angeles, and it was themed like a water park, a swim park with slides in it. Was the theme of it.
He's been trying to figure this one out for so long.
It had a safari?
No. It had a dinosaur.
Surf and Safari.
Yeah, that's Surf and Safari.
That talked like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Kind of.
Okay, that Surf and Safari. All right. There we go. Right. It had a lot of loops.
It was
on
a German dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had this little whirlpool thing.
Yeah.
Palm trees.
Right.
That's right.
It was like one of those fun machines, you know, like Mousetrap or Mouse Around.
Yeah, that's a really fun machine, actually. I like it. Still.
Mouse Around, yeah. Go for the hole. Then there are the Nightmare Machines, like Keith's favorite, Funhouse.
Oh, that's the best game ever created in history.
It is. What's the history on that? Do you know some of the background on that?
That game was also designed by Pat Lawler, who I used to work for, and it was the software was written by a guy named Larry DeMar, who's a legend in the industry. He got his start in the arcade industry because he wrote the software for... two reasonably well-known video games. One is Robotron and one is Defender. Oh. And he moved into the pinball industry, and him and Pat had a very successful working relationship. They did Banzai Run, Funhouse, Twilight Zone, and Addams Family together. And those are some of the most successful pinball games in history. And Pat designed that game after his experiences as a kid at an amusement park in Chicago. As an amusement park in Chicago called Riverview. It was a city amusement park that was right on the river in Chicago, on the Chicago River, right in central downtown. And he took a lot of his ideas from visiting that theme park as a kid and put it in a Funhouse.
He's got it.
This is the Funhouse.
That's right. The Funhouse soundtrack composed by Chris Graner, who is also a kind of a legend in the pinball industry for doing sound.
So there, it had like the mirror stairway.
Yep.
And then the clock, and then the ventriloquist dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all from real experience.
I mean, it was more like inspired by a lot of that stuff. But yeah.
Oh wow.
That's a great game. It's something where I'm still learning how to like be able to do certain skills, like they call it like trapping, where you have like a ball down below and then being able to hit the ball with another flipper up top. It's takes a lot. I'm just not good at that, but if you keep practicing, I guess you'll eventually get that. But it's a challenging game.
It's a game that seems super simple on its face, but once you start really diving into the rules and the different ways that the stuff interacts with each other, it can become really intricate, the way that you can kind of bring everything together to put a really big score together. But you have to, like, everything just has to come together just right, and to do that's a really big skill.
It's one of those where you've got to go through a sequence of targets, and then you get to a level where, like, the dummy goes to sleep and opens his mouth.
Right.
And then you got to hit that.
Yeah.
I've seen Keith put together some pretty intense games of Funhouse in Papa Finals before. That's the World Pinball Championships.
Yeah, Funhouse has always been one of my favorites. I missed a lot of school when that came out.
Yeah, they have all these really awesome videos on the... It's like Papa TV, where they have all this gear that we can actually see these huge tournaments. And like recently, Keith Elwin played a game of Funhouse against four people. And yeah, what did you end up getting on that game?
It's about 70 million, I think.
Which would take, yeah, it's a very, very, very good game on that, and like with such highly skilled players against them and a lot of pressures. Like, these guys are playing pinball all day. It's like, so you have to
for days.
Yes. It's crazy. Exactly. It's like another level for sure.
So everyone should run out to their local bar or arcade and try to put up 70 million on Funhouse and see how hard that is.
Let's go right
now.
With everybody awesome. Watching on TV.
You are listening to the Monday Sampler, and we have got Nicole, Greg, and Keith. Nicole and Greg, they have the Pinball Outreach Project up on Northeast Fremont and 46. Mm-hmm. And you can find that at pinballoutreachproject.com. Pinballoutreach.org. Yes, and it's like kids to come down and play, and it's a non-profit. It's not like they're like taking kids' money or anything. But like the comic book publishers
we're practically giving away money.
We're not giving away money to kids, to be clear.
No, we're giving away tokens to kids during set hours of the day.
To play pinball.
And any donations beyond that help us to go to fund our traveling to children's hospitals and bringing the games for visits.
Oh, that's great. You know, when you're awesome. In the hospital, oh, man, that brightens things up.
And you can pass a lot of time.
Well, you know, this is the Monday Sampler. And we do have Keith here, pinball wizard, plays by sense of smell. And
while eating a sandwich.
Yes. So this is the radio talk show that stops to listen to music. So we're going to take a little break right now, but we'll be back.
Yeah, and we're here with Greg, Nicole, and Keith Elwin. And Greg and Nicole are the have started up the Pinball Outreach Project, which is
Nicole started it. I'm just a hanger on.
Oh, you're just chilling.
He's
there,
a volunteer,
giving out your skills.
Volunteer of the year. Really nice of you. Other volunteer of the year over here.
Nice.
Now I mentioned this is like the worst pinball machine ever.
Oh my god.
You're gonna torture these poor guys. They didn't sign up for this. I liked it for like the first couple of times, and then after a little while,
this is really Black crazy. Knight 2000.
This game could last a long, long, long time.
Everyone always talks about how this game has the best soundtrack of any pinball machine ever, and it just makes me want to bang my head against the wall.
Right, because it's that good, and the machine is that bad. God. It's like the play machine is real, or the play space is tiny, and there's only a couple of targets to shoot at.
Yeah, and I mean, all of the points are on the upper play field, and so it's like you just keep throwing the ball up there, and you can't drain, and it just gets really boring.
You can play
So it's, if you see this machine there, don't be tempted by the groovy music with the choir. Oh!
Yeah, we don't have a button.
No.
You got the power.
Yeah.
You got the mic.
Okay, we're going to cut that. You got the power.
They lasted well. They started getting up and leaving, but no, we appreciate you guys being here. I was going to ask, too, is there any upcoming events or anything at the POP headquarters?
Not right now. We just had our grand opening this weekend and had a fundraiser tournament. So, you know, we'll be posting updates on the website for any events coming up. We're going to be ironing out the details for the summer camp and the kids league and things like that.
Yeah, it's a good time to get on top of that right now to get yourself booked for that. And this is something different than other types of summer camps, so you might be interested. Yep.
We are also running this thing called Super League. It's a very casual league kind of thing that you can do. You basically come in once a week and play a few games, and then your scores get ranked. And every month we have a list of winners and rankings. If you're wanting to get involved in learning about pinball or playing pinball with other people, it's a great way. You can just come in anytime POP is open and play. It's super casual, and it's just a great way to get in and start learning about how to play pinball and get a little better and figuring the game out.
Now we have Keith is with us, who's like a pinball champion. Where have you played? What places are usually the championships being held right now?
They're held in Pittsburgh every year.
Yeah, and this is the Professional Amateur Pinball Association, which you can find on the net, and they give tutorials.
Poppin.org.
Yeah, and you can go through a list of machines. They don't have every machine, but there are a lot of popular ones, and they can kind of show you how to trap the ball, what targets to go for, what targets should you go for first on a machine. What was it, on the AC/DC machine, what would you say? What was the level to go through first?
Yeah, there's like so many rules. That's one of the fun things about pinball is like learning each one. Yeah, AC/DC, there's like all these songs. It's very complicated.
Yeah, so you choose one, but there's one that opens, that lights a bunch of targets right off.
Yeah.
So you can like start scoring really big. You know, tricks like that that you can pick up on. But so it's in Pittsburgh is where the tournament, wasn't there like a company there, or how did it start there?
Kevin Martin used to live there, I believe, and he bought the Papa rights to run the tournament, and he bought a warehouse out there, filled it with games, and the place is incredible. Even if you're not playing in a tournament, there's something like 400 games you can play, and he did a lot of work. Now it's under the Replay Foundation, a nonprofit.
Yeah. So it's like, man, I can remember like 20 years ago or so, it was considered dead. Pinball was almost considered, you know, passé because of the cool video games. Man, look at that little guy eat up all those little dots there. Go Pac-Man. Go Lady Pac-Man. That's really, who wants to play pinball? But what happened? How did pinball revive itself?
I think a lot of it just like, It's pinball has always been, and coin operated arcade games have always been really cyclical industry.
Yeah.
So some of that's just the nature of the industry. But I think a lot of it now is as people have gotten older, they want to, you know, especially, and they have kids, they want to share some of the experiences that they had when they were kids with their own kids. And I think, and, you know, they want to relive those experiences too. And so I think a lot of the modern, like, barcade movement, which is really, what is funneling a lot of the modern pinball industry interest, comes from just a lot of, like, older people wanting to be able to have fun in the way that they did when they were kids. But also, one thing that's weird is that when pinball was in the deepest heart of its recessions, like if we think back to like the late 90s and early 2000s, like even as pinball was selling less and less games and there were fewer and fewer locations, it was weird. The competition in pinball just got harder and harder and heavier and heavier. It was super strange to watch, honestly, because, I mean, when Williams, the largest manufacturer of pinball machines, shut down in 1999 and we were left with Stern, who are still the only, almost the only manufacturer of pinball machines left. They were the only one for a long time. And then Stern was fighting and fighting. And every year I was like, oh, this is the year that Stern's finally gone. Oh, they're never going to make it past this year. And then all of a sudden, like, everything starts coming back and everything's starting to get along now. And some of that's just retros. A lot of it's like, you know, people who played pinball as kids suddenly find themselves with money and are buying games and filling their basements with them. There's all sorts of different things funneling it. I'm sure it'll, you know, reach a high and crash again sometime in the next 10 years, and then we'll be struggling. It's just sort of the nature of the way that the industry works.
So now there were these certain companies that made machines. There was Gottlieb, there was Stern, there was Williams, and then there was another big one.
Bally.
Now, each of them almost had their own sort of unique gimmick that they had, because, as I recall, Stern machines were always real complicated physical ones. There would be like a target that you would have to physically have the ball push back. I think it was like on the Gottlieb or the Stern game.
It was mostly Gottlieb that had those, yeah.
Now, Bally had flippers, but they were like small flippers. And then Williams, they had like the longer flippers, which are now kind of more the standard, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then the drop targets was on some. And then somebody had the first one with the spinner.
Mm-hmm.
You go through you have like a sort of a hanging piece of metal, and as you hit the ball through, it like spun around. What was it? It was the taxi machine where you had the cup of coffee that you put. And so it was like the ball would go in there. It wouldn't like go right down. It would like go around and around. And the more you got it to go around, the more points that you would get on it. That's the. Isn't there a racing machine that's got one of that?
There's.
500. Right.
Yeah, it's got that track that goes around.
It's not quite the same, but
not the same, because you have Marilyn Monroe asking for a red taxi ride.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was the one. That's a great theme.
Oh right, Mustang had that thing in it now. Yeah.
Well, that's also the franchising never gave up. I mean, there were always movie themed pinball machines coming out.
Now that's pretty much all there is now.
Yeah,
the non licensed games are gone.
Yes.
Oh, it's just like it's a card game or racing cars, right. and the sort of stuff that they used to have.
Things that are popular nowadays, which, I'm a little out of the loop on what's popular. Then I learned through some of the pinball machines, like, oh, gosh, people really love wrestling right now.
What's happening? We all thought the same thing.
Oof. Don't tell them about bare knuckle boxing. The one machine that's got that. Say, I imagine the... the actors doing the voices, if they're in a popular movie, this must be just gravy to have their voice on a pinball machine. Like the Addams Family?
It depends. I mean, like, a lot of times they don't necessarily get any extra money out of it.
Oh.
They just do it as part of the promotions for the pinball machines. A lot of times, like, the more popular actors won't even be a part of it. Like, if you notice on the Apollo 13 pinball machine, Tom Hanks doesn't even appear on the game.
Oh.
There's just like a big space helmet in the place where he would be sitting on that, because he refused to have his likeness be on the game. And then sometimes they have to have sound-alike actors do the actors' voices, like in the Johnny Mnemonic pinball machine. Keanu Reeves wouldn't do the voice, so they had to get a Keanu Reeves sound-alike to do it and stuff like this. And
I'll bet you in Surf and Safari that's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Probably not.
He's definitely in
But there is some custom on Arnold Schwarzenegger speech in Terminator 2, and there are also ROMs floating around for that game in which he says some not very family-friendly things as well. So
really? Oh, so there's a different... There's the adult after-hours version.
Right.
Of the pinball machine. Speaking of nostalgia, let's play this one here. This is a good one. This one of my favorite machines is the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's got this little rock and roll thing, but it's got a drive-in movie theme to it. You go to the parking lot, and what, you go to the snack bar to keep getting points, and then you get some points, you get it made, and then the movie comes on. You were talking a little bit about sort of a movie screen in the background. This was one of the first ones, wasn't it? The Creature from the Black Lagoon with the movie.
It has the it has the hologram under the playfield, yeah.
Oh, and it's got that. It's got the hologram, but there's like a panel where you see a scene from the movie at a certain point.
A little more interactive, like yeah. The actual display on there.
Yeah, I remember.
That's such a fun game. That one, that's one of my favorites, too. We're so lucky out here in Portland where there's so many pinball machines. We have the most pinball machines in the United States.
Is that true?
Easy.
Is that true?
Yes.
Probably double of anywhere else.
So are these other places that have the big tournaments, but they don't have as many pinball machines as we do.
Well, not on location, no.
Yeah. Not accessible to the public.
Popeye headquarters isn't open to the public. So.
Oh, I see. Now, we were talking earlier about the actors on the Monster Mash, which is one of my favorites. It's got the universe. It's based on the Universal theme park show, which is based on the monsters.
It's not really based on anything. It was just an idea because after Creature from the Black Lagoon, they had an established relationship with the company and they wanted to do another monster-themed game. So they just came up with a theme to bring all of the monsters together in a rock band, basically.
Well, I believe they have that at Universal. I thought they did.
I don't know anything about that. I thought that was something they made up.
That is a game that we hope to have at Pop someday if anyone would like to donate one.
That's a great game
for the kids.
Now, you'll notice on that, once again, with the copyright, the Dracula is a generic Dracula because Bela Lugosi's son sued Universal Pictures because they were using his dad's image on plastic model kits that came out. And it turns out that the movie was made in such an early sound film, 1931, Lugosi, old stage actor, did his own makeup. He didn't have the makeup department make him up like Karloff was for the Frankenstein movie. So how he looks on the screen is his own creation. So they can't use Lugosi's image as Dracula without paying a bunch of money to the family estate. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So I guess you've had to work that out with the voices and stuff like that with pinball. It still makes tons of money for quarters. It's always been a big money maker, just quarter at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So each one pinball machine that you would go play right now.
Big Game.
What's that?
Stern Big Game?
It's a big one.
It's a big game with some big game.
Action coming
up. And we have it at Pop HQ. Yeah. It's a favorite of the kids. It has four flippers. And super fun.
Dinosaurs versus monster trucks.
Okay. Greg, what would you go play right now?
Funhouse.
You've inspired him.
The thing is, it's like a lot of my favorite games, like Twilight Zone is one of my favorite games. Yeah. But I can play it everywhere. They're all over the place, right? I don't see Funhouses very often.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Right now, I'd go play Sea Witch.
What is Sea Witch?
Nice. I love Sea Witch.
It is a gorgeous game from the early 80s that I picked up recently. And put on location.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it used to be over at C-Bar. C-Bar is a spot that you can go and play games that you don't see very often.
Or Gladstone. Ones.
Yeah, it's on 28th and Gladstone.
Okay, Keith, what would you go play?
I would play... just the other day, we had a little tournament before Pinball, and I got a chance to play Bride of Pinbot 2.0, where they somebody designed a machine that was already made and put some extra brains in it, and it, oh man, it was awesome. Did you get a chance to play it over at Nice?
I haven't played it yet.
No.
Oh, really? It's awesome.
They have the regular Bride of Pinbot over at the...
over at Boogie's.
Boogie Burger. Yeah.
If you were to ask a game that I would never want to play again, that would be on my list.
Right, it is, yeah. It's once again, it's the same thing over and over. It's got a shot where you let the ball come just right back to you. Mm-hmm. And you really don't get that much points for that. It's very frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating as black.
With the new, with the new creation of the 2.0, that game is totally different. It's amazing what the software and different things could do to make that. It's completely different game.
I guess I'll have to go with Whirlwind.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Or Monster Mash. once again, Pinball Outreach Project. Go up to Fremont and 46th, or go to Pinball Outreach pinballoutreach.org, and you can find out all about it. You've got summer camps coming up and all sorts of crazy fun. Crazy fun with the silver ball. That's right. And they have crazy flipper fingers, and they play by sense of smell.
And don't associate us with those crazy flipper fingers people. I'm not associated with them.
That's a whole club in town.
It's a little outdated. We could have a whole nother show about the whole pinball wizard thing. I'll be positive today. This is positive me over here, and I will not mention it again. The old song. It's old.
Hey, Keith, are you going to be playing anywhere coming up?
Not anytime soon. No.
So you just take it easy.
At his house by himself.
Excellent.
Yeah, working on my custom game. That's it.
Custom. Okay. Well, great, guys. Thanks for coming by the sampler.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we'll have to check it out up there, 46th and Fremont.
Come visit us.